Evans, Oakland, California, July 8, 1901. Dear Brother Evans, I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. I awake with an aching heart, for I have been in conversation with you, presenting before you the necessity of the southern field. I was in a council meeting. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I addressed you, my brother, saying, "What more can be said to impress you with the necessities of the cause of God? Why do you feel inclined to do so little for the southern field? Where do you suppose its help is coming from?" At the different places at which I stopped on my way from Battle Creek, I tried to create an interest in the work in the South, but I received only a little money. I think $1,000 would cover all that was given. What does this mean? Our people have means, and the work at Nashville has been taken up with the commendation of God. He approves of the work that has been done by J.E. White and his helpers. What further evidence can my brethren want that it is their duty to help? The very fact that the field has been wronged, the very fact that the matter has been presented, should be sufficient to lead the people of God to do all in their power to help. Light has been given me by God that unless something more is done in behalf of the southern field than has yet been done, those who ought to see the condition of the field and to realize its need will be held responsible for the means they have diverted from the object for which it was raised. The failure to do that which should have been done to place the work where it should be shows that the past unfaithfulness is unhealed. Something has been done to help, but it falls far short of what ought to be done. The position taken by the workers in Nashville in regard to the planning of the work there is approved of God. The Lord is not in the unfavorable propositions which have been presented. God's purposes are contrary to the suppositions of men. I have been watching with intense interest the movements made in the South. The rebuke of God is upon those who in the past have brought forward propositions that have caused the work in the South to be greatly hindered, so that it is far behind where it should be. This work would have been far advanced if the men in sacred office had been controlled by the Holy Spirit. I am now instructed to say, do your long neglected duty. There is to be no questioning in this matter. Justice, mercy, and the love of God have been so long excluded from the managing force at the heart of the work that eyes have become blinded and spiritual perception perverted. Let not those now on trial in positions of responsibility be unfaithful to the duty which has been made so plain to them. The Master's will has been so definitely made known. His rebuke has come to his people because of their neglect. It is his desire that something shall be done, and done at once. Let not those who are now in positions of trust work contrary to his purpose. Let them take up their work and help where help is needed. Decide what should be done, and then do it. Let the good work begun at the late conference, where the Lord was present, teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, be carried forward to a glorious completion. I am instructed to keep the southern field before you, that for your own good you may make ample restitution to this field. False representations have been made regarding the work done in the South. Men have not had sufficient interest in the work to go to the field and make a disinterested examination. Think of the prevarication which has been shown, the schemes which have been entered upon to get control of that which the Lord created to help the southern field. The past course has been crooked. Wrong methods have been followed. But the errors of the past are unconfessed and unrepented of. Men have in their own minds justified the course that was then taken. They have viewed things from beginning to end in an altogether false light. And from the present showing, the same course will be followed in the future. The Lord will accept no excuse for the past neglect of the southern field. Restitution has not yet been made in full to this field. The reproach is not yet wiped out. Christ has been wronged in the person of his saints. God has been robbed of the revenue with which he desired to open the work in the south. And this miserably selfish work will be repeated, as surely as it has been done in the past, unless it is seen in a true light. Edson White and others have been crowded into most disagreeable positions. They have been forced to the wall. God has seen this unjust dealing. Wherein did those who took part in this unrighteousness love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves? If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if ye have not shown wisdom in using what was another's, who shall give you that which is your own? See Luke 16, verse 11-12. This strikes to the very root of the matter. Unjust, unholy actions have brought the frown of God upon the Review and Herald office. Evil work has brought the cause of God into disrepute, and has kept the backslider from obeying his holy law. I thought that I should never be called upon to write on this subject again, but I dare not keep silence when these things are presented before me. Last night is the second time that this matter has been brought before me. When my brethren wrote to me about erecting another building in Battle Creek, saying that money could be obtained with which to do this, my heart was pained, and I have not been free from the pain since. The work in the South should be given the attention which it should have had long ago. It has been robbed of its just dues, and yet those who have done so little for this new field now propose to put up another building in Battle Creek for the purpose of gaining greater room and convenience. What would be the influence of such an action after the light that God has given on this subject? Take the $4,000 that would be needed for the erection of this building and place it where it belongs, that it may bear fruit to the glory of God. Nashville is to be made a center from which the light of truth is to shine forth. Place the money in the work there. Make restitution to the southern field. Learn constantly in the school of Christ. Keep your principles pure and holy. It would be wrong to add another building to the buildings already erected in Battle Creek. I have words of encouragement for the workers in the South. Self-denial and self-sacrifice have been shown by them in their work. God will strengthen them in every effort they make to advance His kingdom, if they will walk in His way and do His will. He will give them true happiness. The Lord is their helper. He will prepare the way before them. Misrepresentation and falsehood have done their baleful work, but the Lord declares that if His workers will walk humbly with Him, He will go before them and will enable them to do a true work, a work that will ensure their happiness, honor, and usefulness. Hitherto, the Lord has helped them. They are under His guidance. They are to put their trust in God, regulating their expenditures according to His directions. Whether they eat or drink or whatsoever they do, they are to do all to the glory of God. The angels of God will prepare their way as far as financial matters are concerned. But the Lord desires to give those who have done Him great wrong by hindering the work in the South an opportunity to repent and make restitution. The question comes, shall Edson White's name be placed on the little paper published at Nashville, the Gospel Herald? I answer, yes, indeed. Edson White has done nothing to debar him from placing his name where, by right, it should be. Let the Lord have opportunity to magnify His name. Talents, hitherto unused, are to be set in operation. They will develop by use. there is great need for the education of talent. This education must go forward in the church and must reach from the church to regions beyond. Falsehoods are not changed into truth by being circulated for many years. In spite of their age, they are still falsehoods. The Lord calls upon His people to help the southern field. This call brings with it a solemn, sacred responsibility which cannot be evaded. The field speaks for itself. Neglected, downtrodden, oppressed, ignorant, who needs our help more than the colored people of the South? Let this field be helped without waiting until every other call for help is answered. God calls for a right appropriation of His means, that the work may enlarge and extend where it is a positive necessity that it shall enlarge and extend, where such extension will help other barren and forsaken parts of the vineyard. Everything is to be done that can be done to enlarge the sphere of Christian influence. Christ's church members are to work earnestly for those who are perishing in their sins. Let the church prayer meeting be a source of spiritual life, a place where the members of the church may learn to work in spiritual lines. Let all enter upon the Lord's work with sanctified earnestness. Let those who in the past have been merely consumers now become producers. Let the Lord's people bring their gifts and offerings for the furtherance of His work. Thus, the kingdom of God will be greatly extended. Let everyone work on the principles of self-sacrifice. Work while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. As God's people work earnestly, humbly, self-sacrificingly, they will gain the rich reward of which Job speaks. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job 29, verse 11, 13. Christ will be acknowledged as the Creator and Redeemer. Those who are laborers together with God will be recognized and appreciated. The recognition of the faithful servants of God detracts not one iota from the gratitude and praise we offer to God and to the Lamb. When the redeemed stand around the throne of God, those who have been saved from sin and degradation will come to those who worked for them with the words of greeting, "I was without God and without hope in the world. I was perishing in corruption and sin. I was starving for spiritual and physical food. You came to me in love and pity and fed and clothed me. You pointed me to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." I would love to pursue this subject further, but the call has come for me to go to breakfast. I would be glad to write much more, but must defer it. I awoke at 12 o'clock with such a pain in my heart that it seemed to me I should soon die. But I arose and commenced to write, and have written the foregoing pages since then. The matter of the necessities of the southern field burdens me greatly.